people with disabilities, there's a multitude of variables that can make it almost every situation being unique. Some things could be such as, was a person born with a disability or did it occur later in life? Sometimes people who are born with disability, they just see themselves as whole, that this is just who they are. Their disability is part of their character. People who have disability later in life often go through a grieving process, and they have trouble with self-identity, trying to understand who they are and how they fit in with their friends and family and occupations. There's just a lot of things that can change a person's situation with a disability. And even when you say disability, it can mean a lot of different things. The pastor mentioned some of them are visible, some are invisible. Some can limit a person's mobility, some of them cause pain. So there's just a big continuum of variables that will change how a person, will change how you can minister to a person with a disability. And so I think first I'm going to look at John 9:2-7. Actually, I'm going back up to 58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So, I'm just going to point out a couple of things. First, what do you think the attitude of his disciples were towards this man? Right, they weren't very charitable. They didn't ask Jesus to heal him. And instead, they just have some unusual questions about him. Who sins? So they have this automatic presumption that his illness was the result of some sort of a sin. It's very curious, too, that they ask, was it this man or his parents? And he was born blind, so how could he have sinned to cause blindness? So it's an unusual question from them, but I think it represents an unusual or an unnecessary curiosity about the man's sin. What would it have benefited them to know if it was him or his parents or someone else? And I think that that might be something we can keep in mind when we talk to people with disability. Don't be overly curious about their situation. And a lot of times they will open up as much as they want to. Sometimes a person may be kind of seclusive. It may be a way that they try to deal with or a coping mechanism for dealing with their disability. So if you're overly curious, it may put a person on the defensive. So when Jesus came onto this person and saw him needing help, was it a convenient time for him? It says that he just left the Pharisees who had taken up stones to throw at him. And so he is on the run for his life, and he runs into this encounter. Doesn't say, "I'll get back to you when I have time." Or he doesn't wait for a more convenient time for him. It was the Sabbath, so he didn't wait for the next day. Then maybe it would be less controversial. But he saw the need, and he immediately tried to help him. And I think that it's another example for us that when we have opportunity and the ability, we should not put off something that we could do to help someone right then and there. I have just a kind of a question for you. Why does God allow people to have disabilities to begin with? We could have been made like the angels that don't, as far as I know, don't have these kinds of problems. Jesus had the ability to heal people, why didn't he just heal everyone so that there wouldn't be people with these kind of problems? Any speculations?
So we live in a fallen world, so disease is part of this creation, and then we know that diseases and disabilities, trials, they are trials, so they are used to refine us.
Very good. when you look at 2 Corinthians 12,
right after that, it also said in your text that you read, so that his glory can be shown.
Exactly right, yes.
What's the passage you get in front?
2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, I think here is an example of where Jesus did not heal someone. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, it was a problem, and he asked, and God did not answer him, and we don't have any reason to believe that it might have been due to some sort of personal shortcoming on Paul's part. It's not because God didn't listen to his prayer, but it was for God's glory. As it says. And Paul goes on to say that, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And we're not all like Paul. Sometimes it's hard to have a Christ-like attitude towards our infirmities, and so. But there, I think, in both situations, the blind man and with Paul with his thorn, they were both meant for God's glory, and in Paul's case, it was meant for his glory also. But can you turn to Hebrews 12:7? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it doesn't specifically talk about disabilities or thorns in the flesh, but trials that God sends to us are meant for our good. And I think that that's one way, if you were trying to help someone who's struggling with, why does this happen to me? Why am I in pain? I don't know if they're going to readily accept that, but I think that that's a sound rationale from the Bible about why bad things happen. Why do people suffer? I was going to point out one more scripture, Matthew 18:9. Oh, sorry, let me back up to 8. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with 1 eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire. So I'm pointing this one out just to, I guess, kind of point out what does the Bible say about the value of our bodies compared to the value of our souls? And if God chooses to humble us through illness or injury or disability, and it is for our spiritual good we should welcome. So, I had a couple of just practical things. Those are spiritual or biblical considerations, but I had a couple of practical ones about disability and how to help people with disability. There are some stereotypes that people have about those with disability, and maybe that they're kind of seclusive, they decline offers of help, they may have a victim mentality, you may think that they're just different, you have nothing in common with them. But I think that understanding a person with disability would help explain some of those, that often with a physical disability comes some psychological problems or coping mechanisms. Say, for instance, I read that following a heart attack, 15 to 20% of people who have had a heart attack have major depression following that. It's not just being sad about being ill, it's a physiological change in how the brain works. And so if you try to help someone who's had a heart attack, they need some, there's some practical things they may need, they may seem disinterested. And it may not be anything about you trying to offer help or about them receiving it, it's just they may be depressed. Other coping mechanisms or other psychological problems that may go along with disability, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive disorder. These things, they can sometimes cause a disability or be the result of them. So as I mentioned with the heart attack, you can have depression. Sometimes people who have a major disability will think, kind of like the disciples did with the blind man, that it's the result of some evil. They may think that God is punishing them for something they've done. I mean, that may be part of how God is choosing to heal them. Or it may not be. It may not, as the blind man, it was neither his sin nor his parents. And so be careful about understanding that a person may take on that sort of mentality for themselves. God is, I'm the victim of God. He's punishing me for something. They may actually believe that and think themselves to be worse than they are. I think one of the most difficult disabilities to try to help minister to would be people with psychological disorders. And there's a lot of misconception with that. There was one veteran in particular I remember I was trying to help. He had a spinal cord injury, but he was also schizophrenic, and he was hearing voices, and he had come to the hospital to seek help. He was hearing, I think, somewhere like 5 or 7 different voices in his head, and he told the psychiatrist that he'd like to get rid of most of them, but there are some he wanted to keep. I thought, are you crazy? But yeah, that's kind of the attitude people have, and that's precisely, that's a barrier for people who have mental illness to seek help, because they're afraid that people will think of them as crazy, or they've lost their mind, or they're going to be, all their freedoms will be taken away. So yeah, that's, luckily I didn't say it, and it's what I thought. But that's an attitude you have to kind of check yourself for. I have a couple of just practical suggestions. I mean, this has been a very superficial discussion about disability and some of the perceptions of disability. And I think maybe the most valuable thing you can do for a person who has a disability is just try to be their friend. Sometimes that's far more valuable than anything you can do. Having someone who you can connect with to understand can be a great comfort when you have some sort of affliction. Also, I would suggest that you consider not only the person who has the disability, but their caregivers. Sometimes a a spouse is going to be the next day a caregiver, and it's a very different role than being your friend and partner for life. And sometimes that can be very stressful. It causes resentments back and forth. So maybe trying to find out what practical things you can do to help the caregiver. As the pastor mentioned, he must have read my notes. I was going to say that sooner or later, every one of us is going to have some type of illness or injury that limits our ability to do things. And I think a practical thing we can do to work against that would be, while you have the ability, try to befriend someone or help someone who does have some sort of limitations in what they can do. I think it will help you to understand how to deal with it better when it happens to you. I think, above all, God is sovereign. He is the one who allows these things to happen. He does it for our good. It's hard to understand at the time, but we need to, in all things, all times, trust in Him and try to live whatever circumstances He puts us in to His glory. So that was really all my prepared remarks. Is there any discussion?
Stephanie, what were you going to say?
Oh, I have a question. As somebody who doesn't deal personally with disability for myself, I think I'm pretty good at helping people if I see a need short term. But when it comes to long term, I mean, not just, right at the time of the funeral or right after the funeral, for example, if somebody's lost somebody, that's not the same kind of thing. But what would you suggest in terms of long term help or care, ministry, spiritually, practically, to somebody with disability?
Be a friend. If you're someone, you're probably not going to be just a short-term friend, but you may be making a commitment for forever. So as you know them, you may see they're doing well, doing bad. You may see things that they don't see in their own life. So being a good friend.
Okay. Could I ask one more thing?
Yes, sir.
Title. Okay, here's my other question. From your experience dealing with other people, have you found that they find it helpful for people to always ask how they are physically, or just to acknowledge that, for example, hey, I missed you, how's it going, how's your week been, that kind of thing? What do you
think? Good question.
What do you think? that's so difficult because, like I was saying, there's just so many variables. I think that you would have to know that person to know what they are comfortable with. If you don't know them well, I would suggest maybe waiting for them to bring up what they're willing to share.
That's a good question because I always wonder if people say this the wrong way, but not that they want to be felt sorry for, but it's like, when you see them, is it always like, how you doing? How you doing? You know, it's like, how does that process from their perspective? Or is that an encouragement to them when somebody, shows that? Or is it just it's like, I want to be treated like everybody else, so don't make a big thing out of it. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's what she's kind of getting to.
Yeah, I think your last statement is probably the most accurate. I think most people with disability want to interact with other people just like you would with anyone who is able-bodied.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some social skill. If it's the first thing you ask a person when you see them, how you doing?
Yeah.
that's the problem. But if you are genuine, you just talk about many things, and then in the course of your conversation, it may be, well, how's your health? I think that with anyone, whether you are very healthy and you have lots of energy, you still have some needs. And you can talk to people and see what their needs are still in that situation, just like you can on the other end of the continuum. see that there are some obvious needs for people who are struggling with it, and it's without disability. And then if it's a person who has some sort of physiological ailment, injury, there is a tendency, I think, for people to be afraid of them. If I know you have cancer, and it may frighten me.
Right.
Think, oh, something bad has happened. I don't want to be too close to that person.
Right.
Something may happen to me.
Right.
And there's some sort of irrational fear.
So thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Let's close in prayer, and we'll close for this afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to have this discussion. We know as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we ask that you would take this discussion and the verses we looked at and the things that Brian has said, and we would be able to apply them in our own lives and apply them in our relationship with others. And we would be better equipped to minister, and that we would have just the Spirit of Christ in our interactions with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.